Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
It's Nicole C. Mullen with My Shepherd. I must say, man, when I see Nicole C. Mullen, I think to myself, how far back does she go? Literally, on my early radio days, like 13 years ago when I started radio, I remember I used to play her a lot on a Friday evening show that I used to do. Man, absolutely loved her. It is Monday, and of course, round about now, we've got Mr. Puluso Siyakamela. We were speaking over the last two Mondays on customary marriages, and we promised you that we would proceed on to the various forms of contracts in terms of marriage, the types of marriages and whatnot. But let's just put that on hold today. Let's just put it on hold. There's just something, another pressing matter that we need to speak about. And Mr. Puluso is on the other side of the line today as he makes his way back to Gauteng, but he is not absent, definitely not. Mr. Siyakamela, good afternoon and welcome back to your Legal Junction.
Thank you so much, Luco, and let me also greet the beautiful listeners of Radio Pulpit. Unfortunately, today I'm not catching them live.
On
the other side.
We would have gone back to Facebook, but it's fine. We'll do it next time.
For sure. Next week, we're back in studio.
Of course. Now, you like I said to the listeners, we have another pressing matter we just want to deal with quickly before we go back to our contracts, but that we will cover next week. We're talking today labor law, right?
Correct.
I think this affects a lot of people who are actually employed, hey?
For sure. You know, it's sad, Luco, that you find that certain employees, they do not understand their position. They are employed, but they don't understand anything in as far as their relationship with their employers, and also how they should conduct themselves. Because most of the time when people are getting employed, you realize they are so excited that they were unemployed and now they are employed. So they do not even look into certain legalities in as far as labor law is concerned. So that's basically what we will be looking into today, just to open their eyes to, as to what are the things, what are we talking about when we say a person is an employee, because you'll find one being an independent contractor, but yet calling themselves employees. So this is basically, in short, what we will be looking into.
Maybe before you start, maybe clarify for me, Where does one fall in into labor law matters? Let's say, where does it start? Where do my rights start and where do they end? When I'm employed already, when I'm in the process of employment, you know that situation we were dealing with recently. So where exactly do my rights start and where do they end? Maybe that's what I need to ask you.
Remember, like we normally say, contracts involves firstly the meeting of the mind. Then whenever there is the meeting of the mind between the prospective employer and the said employee, and there are negotiations. You remember we also touched this when we spoke about customary.
Okay.
To say there should be the meeting of the mind. So this is the same stance even here.
Okay.
For a relationship to start between an employer and employee, there should be first the meeting of the minds.
Okay.
So it starts where we agree to say this is the certain amount of money that you will be getting paid, and these are the duties that you will have to perform on behalf of the employer, because that is in essence the duty of the employee to make sure that they pursue and push the business interest of the employer. Then in return, the employer has a duty to make sure that such an employees are paid.
Okay.
So basically, that is that. We'll also be looking into certain sections of the law, section 200A and 213 of the Labor Relations Act, because that's where a clear definition of an employee is broken down to be explained clearly, to say what are we talking about when we say a person is an employee. So we will be looking into those sections and also looking into relevant case law which supports the issue of relationship of the employer and the employee. We'll also be looking into temporary employees.
Okay.
Yes, because there's also certain laws that governs that, to say what are we talking about when we say a person is a temporary employee. So without any further ado, Luko, I think let's first go into the definition of an employee in terms of Section 200 capital A and 213 of the Labor Relations Act.
Mm.
Yes, when you check the law defines an employee as a person who is a party to a contract. You remember this is the question that you asked, to say when does the relationship start?
Yes.
It starts when the minds have met, where there was the meeting of the minds between an employer and the employee. So this is how the Section 200 capital A and 213 of the Labor Relations Act explains or defines an employee, to say is a person or persons who are party to a contract of employment. And obviously, we will look, there is some Latin word there, locatio conductio operarum. That is what defines clearly an employee. Because you check also, this also deals with validity of the contract of employment. Because
mm-hmm.
there can be a contract, but you find that the contract
is not valid.
The person is in an illegal contract of employment.
Sure.
Which you might not be able to enforce, mm-hmm. or you may not be able to practice your rights in terms of the Labor Relations Act. You look in the case of Discovery Health Limited versus CCMA,
mm.
where the court now had to explain an employee in terms of the Act, to say Act does not only depend on the existence of a valid contract of employment, because this can also be entered into orally.
Or exactly.
Employer can just agree with the employee to say, I've employed you, but we did not reduce the contract of employment to writing. And that mostly affects the employees.
Yeah, because they're thinking, I don't have a contract with you. Like most people think, I didn't sign anything, so I don't have much rights.
Exactly. And also enforceability, because you cannot be able to enforce a contract that you do not have the content thereof. Yes, so I know that the law leaves it open-ended to say a contract of employment, there is no need necessary that it must be reduced to writing, but it's imperative that it must, in all material times, be reduced to writing. Hence, there is this word sui generis, because contract of employment on its own, the law regards it to be a very special type of a contract. And also you look into the constitutional law context in terms of the rights to fair labor practices. This is a right that is available to all employees, whether their contracts are reduced to writing or not. That is why when you check the constitutionality part of it, it will explain it as such, to say is this right to a fair labor practice is not only for those who are party to such a contract. As long as the person is involved as an employee, the Act will apply. You see, so in this case, the court was dealing with a foreigner employed in conflict with the provisions of the Immigration Act. That is the case that I've just cited of Discovery Health Limited versus CCMA. So this is what happened here. The court now had to explain the constitutionality of a contract of employment, to say whether a person is a party to such a contract or not. As long as that person is rendering service, then the Act will apply.
Okay. Very interesting.
Or maybe should we also look into the case of Kylie versus the CCMA.
Please unpack it to
where the court considered the claim of unfair dismissal by a sex worker against her former employer.
Okay.
You see this is what I just spoke about in terms of Discovery Health versus CCMA, to say as long as the person is involved in an employment space and rendering
a certain service.
Yes. So this is what happened also here. But here now we see a contravention of the law, because we are talking about a sex worker here in the case of Kaili versus CCMA. Then you realize that the law now had to look into certain legalities like the Sexual Offences Act. So what I'm trying to say here is that I've mentioned that it's a person who is involved in an employment space, but that employment space must also be lawful.
Exactly.
You see, it must also be lawful. Hence, you find that in the Discovery Health, the court already dealt with the question of the LRA in terms of applicability to employees without a valid contract of employment. But here, in the case of Kaili, who was a sex worker, now the court looks into other existing laws to say, no, we understand you're saying this person is an employee, but now what does the other law say?
With regards to the employment.
With regard to such an employment.
Sure. Tricky. Sure. But then what does the law say then in that case where the work done in nature is illegal?
Yeah, if the work is illegal, obviously the point of reference will be the case of Kaili. This is this is CCMA, where you realize that the CCMA had to remove the matter from the roll.
I can imagine they
did not entertain it because of such a dismissal. That, remember, this Kaili went to the CCMA for unfair dismissal, but her job description then was
illegal in nature as well.
Yes.
Okay. No, that makes sense.
There's a lot of sections that are here in the Labor Relations Act. You also check Section 2 of the Act, Section 6 of the Act, who deals entirely with the definition of saying, what are we talking about when we are saying a person is an employee? Because now the court looks into such instances where a person is working in terms of a contract of service. And sometimes it's difficult to determine primarily to say this person is an employee. Hence, there is a difference between an employee and an independent contractor.
Okay, all right.
You see, so there's people who are independent contractors, and there's people that are employees. Employees are governed by this law of the Labor Relations Act.
Okay.
So when we talk about an independent contractor, we're talking simply about a self-employed person or an entity contracted to perform certain work.
Okay.
You get it?
Clear.
But that such a person is a non-employee to such an organization, but is rendering service to such an organization. So that is an employee, an independent contractor. But an employee is a person that pursues the interest or the business of the employer on day today.
So is the Labor Relations Act actually silent on independent contractors?
Not really, because it also gives them provision. It also recognizes them because they exist in law, that we have such people that are in independent contractors, and they are rendering service on day-to-day basis to certain institutions. So also they are covered in terms of the law. But like I said, obviously the Labor Relations Act will look more in detail into employees than independent contractors.
Oh, okay. All right. No, very clear.
Like an employee works for another person,
mm-hmm.
assists in conducting the business of the employer. This is what I said earlier.
Yes.
So this is what is explained in Section 13 of the Labor Relations Act. Then you'll realize that it does not say much about independent contractors. It just says an employee is anyone who performs or assists in conducting the business of the employer other than independent contractors. So that's basically what the Act
Okay. Very, very clear. I know you are, like I said, traveling all the way from Mpumalanga, I believe it's Mpumalanga, Limpopo. Limpopo, oh my
Limpopo,
goodness.
Yes.
That's even much further.
We were pushing some law business this side, but I said the legal junction must move. There's no
it
way.
Cannot wait.
And do the work.
Yeah. Anything else you'd like to add, Mr. Pulizo, before I let you go? We are going to keep it rather a bit short for today, just to allow him some safety, guys. I must say he had to pull through for legal junction today, stopping in the middle of nowhere. So anything else before I let you go, Mr. Siyakabela?
Yes. Asluko?
Yes, yes.
Can you still hear me?
I can hear you clearly.
Okay. Yes, I think before I go, let's also look into the section 200A in terms of how, and section 83, capital A also, of the basic conditions of employment. Because remember, we've got the Labor Relations Act, and we also have the basic conditions of employment, which raises a rebuttable presumption relating to the existence of an employee relationship for employees earning below the threshold. So it's another thing. I think this one will deal with it in studio next week, Monday, to say, who are the people that are earning below the threshold? What do we do? I did one case in the CCMA, Luca, where the nanny took the employer to court, saying that she was not paid as she's supposed to be paid.
Okay.
And there was a ruling that the employer must pay. So there is a certain threshold also for nannies. Eh?
Yeah. Yep.
And this is what most of our people are not aware of. I remember even my client was not aware. She was like, no, you know, this nanny is mad. I've been paying her. This is by agreement. But the question is, are you paying her by agreement or are you paying her according to what the law says? Because
exactly, what
the law says is supersedes what
the
you
agreement you have. Mm.
Yes. So the law stands above it all to say this is the threshold of employees in South Africa. This is what they must get. This is what they must earn. So those are the issues that I think we'll look into details next week when I'm in the studio, Luco.
Yeah, to say what's in the contract, but what does the law say exactly? Because it can be in the contract, but still null and void because it really doesn't stand. Mm.
I normally say this to say the law is like a sea. And you'll realize that there is certain community needs that are running and roaming around to say this is the law. But when you check, when you read the law, then you realize that is not what the law says.
Mm.
You see, so those are the things that we look into in studio to say what is a community need in terms of contracts of employment. What is the community need in terms of employment sector, and also, what is the legal position?
Mm. Sure. I love the sound of this. I think it's very important because a lot of people employed and those who are independent contractors, I think, really want to know what their rights are and how far they go. So thank you so much for prepping that for us, Mr. Siyakamela. Let's do this again next week. Please drive home safely.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Luco. And wrap up the show well. God bless you and to the listeners of Radio Pulpit. Thank you so much.
It's not going to be the same without you saying from the only lawyer of the radio.
From the only lawyer of the radio. I think let me just say that. From the only lawyer of the radio. We're meeting again next week. We will have much time to dwell into this. And also, I think we'll also open a space for engagement from our listeners to say if they want to ask us questions, they can call in studio and engage us so that we can empower each other with this legal matters, because it's very imperative.
Yeah.
I normally say this: when man lives without law, man lives without freedom.
Yep.
So let's engage again next week, Monday, on the legal junction.
Thank you so much, Mr. Sekomela. God bless you.
Hear the word and renew your life on 657 AM.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.